And the right way is not always easy. In fact, many times the right way is the hardest way.
Hey, welcome to The Breeze. We appreciate your time today and encourage you to head on over to thebreezechurch.com, where you can find the notes for this presentation, as well as links for all that's happening around The Breeze. Our hope is that this message helps move you forward in your faith journey.
When we get to this time of the year, my mind always goes to a certain section of verses. I don't know why that is. It just so happens over the years, that's just happened. I've talked about these verses over and over again. So we're at the end of a year, getting ready to start another one. I want to talk to you today about how you and I live the life God wants. I'm making an assumption here. You want to be a better Christian. Okay? You want that to happen in your life, correct? Okay. If that's not you today, then just bear with me, you know, suck it up for 30 minutes and we'll go on. So we're going to look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 16. And it's a very simple thing, but a very difficult thing to do. And the first thing is I have to face the truth. Face the truth. Here's how Paul writes this in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 and part of 13. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. Now, just so we're all on the same page, look at the person next to you and say to them, you're not perfect. Now hold it. Some of you added some more words to that, didn't you? Yeah. I'm not there yet. I'm not everything I should be. I'm not everything I want to be. I'm not perfect. So what I have to do, first off, I have to face the truth. When it comes to my relationship with God, I'm not everything I want to be. I'm not perfect yet, am I? No one in this room is. But I want more. I want to try to step towards that more. I want to come to a place where that is my heart's desire. I want to be more and more like Christ. I'm not there yet, so I'm going to keep going. You come to that place where I want to be more like him. Now, I do not get to compare myself to others. It does me no good if I say I'm better than you. That's a pretty low bar anyway, isn't it? Little joke there, you could laugh at that. No, I don't get to compare myself with others. You will be much better off trying to be better than you are rather than being better than someone else. To come to that place where you understand, I am not everything I want to be. I haven't reached this yet. I need to go farther and farther with God. And so I come to that place where I recognize it. Now, don't beat yourself up over this. And don't pat yourself on the back. But come to that place where we recognize, you know what? I'm human. I'm doing everything I can. I just want to be better because I'm not there yet. John chapter 8, verse 31. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you're truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So God, I want to come to the place where I want to be faithful to what your word says so that you can guide me in your truth and I can become more and more like you because I am not perfect yet. Now, one day I'm going to be. It won't be on this planet. But when I get to heaven, I'll be perfect. That's when it happens. But until that time of perfection comes, I'm going to keep pushing forward to become more and more like Christ. So I have to, first of all, face the truth about my life. Every year, come to the end. Not there yet. Let's keep going. Face the truth. Secondly, focus on one thing. One thing. Verse 13, the end of it. I focus on this one thing. Now, if you're taking notes, this you might want to write down because this is really deep here. The one thing is not on your phone. When I say focus on one thing, all I have to do is look in, if I'm at a restaurant, look around, and what's everybody focused on? Their phone, right? They focus on one thing. That phone has their attention. But you and I are to come to that place where we focus on something different. There's many things in life that will vie for your attention. There are many things in life that will try to distract you from what really matters. And so I have to put my focus principally where I want it to be, on Christ. And there's a lot of worries, there's a lot of desires, there's a lot of things that will distract us from this. And if I'm not careful, I'll lose sight of what my goal really is. Luke chapter 8, verse 14. The seeds that fell among the thorns represents those who hear the message. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and so they never grow into maturity. One of the things that is keeping you from becoming more mature in Christ is all of the cares, all of the pleasures, all of the things that this life has to offer. They distract us, don't they? We begin to pursue them rather than what it really matters. And so I have to put my mind in a place where I'm going to focus on this one thing. I'm going to keep my focus intent on this. I'm not there yet. I want to be there. I want to be more. I want to be better. And I'm going to focus on doing that in the year ahead. That's where I'm going. That's what I want to do. Because here's what I know. If I become more like Christ, all the other stuff in my life that I have to deal with will be fine because I'll handle it correctly, won't I? And so this is what matters. This is the priority. This is what my intent is. Two women were in a house cooking, and one was distracted, so to speak, with all the stuff going on, and the other one kind of snuck away and went and listened to Jesus teach. The one who was kind of doing all the busy work came and complained. So verse 41, Lord says to her, "Dear Martha, you're worried and upset over all the details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." The other things can get done, but you don't need to be concerned with them like you are concerned with your relationship with Jesus Christ. Matthew gives us direction here, pretty clear. Chapter 6, verse 33, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." Sometimes we don't have the things that we need because we have lost our focus and are chasing after other things rather than his things. And so you and I, in the year ahead, if I want to be more Christ-like, if I want to live the life God wants, I have to recognize I'm not all there yet, and there's only one thing that really matters in my life. Did a baby dedication. I tell parents all the time, you know, basically in raising kids, it's pretty simple. Only got to do two things. One, raise them to love God. And that's what the Bible says. The Bible tells us, what does God want from your children? Godly kids. What's the second? Teach them to be independent and not need you. Oh, my dear. You do that, everything's going to be fine. Told my kids for years, you serve God, I don't care what you do with the rest of your life. Because if you're serving God and doing what he wants, if that's the one focus in your life, everything else is good. Do we believe that? Okay, I believe that. The rest of you, you're on your own. And so there's one thing that matters in life. How well am I getting along with God? How good is my relationship with him? So then, this is a big one, forget the past. Forget the past. It's over. It's done. You can't change a thing about it. And that's what he says in verse 13. Forgetting the past. Purposely keep putting your past behind you. Learn from the past. Do not repeat the mistakes of your past, but do not let your past control your present or your future. There's a lot of old pictures that we have of our past that we need to destroy. There's a lot of things that have happened to us back there that were harmful, hurtful, horrible. Put a label on it however you want, but they're gone. They're done. It's over. Don't let it control you. In this past year, 2025, you probably had some things you'd like to forget, don't you? Some things you wish you wouldn't have done. Some decisions you made that you regret. Some relationships that you would have handled differently. There's always those regrets in life. Every one of us in this room live with regrets. I wish it had been different. I wish I wouldn't have done that. I wish they would have done this. I wish that hadn't have happened. Let it go. It's over. And the more the past controls you, the harder your life will be. But you don't know the things I've done in my past, preacher. You don't understand how bad I've been. You don't know some of the things I've done. I don't. But here's what I do know. Romans 8, verse 1, there is now no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. It's over. It's done. God forgives it. You can go on. You don't have to carry it with you anymore. Life would be a lot lighter for some of you if you had just let the past go. And so Paul says, look, I understand I'm not there yet, and I've got to get really focused on this. But in order to do that, I've got to let some things go. Now, this guy should know because he's a murderer. He killed a lot of people. Let it go. There's a verse I love in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Wow. Good news today. Maybe you're here and you're not a Christian. I got good news for you. Maybe you regret the things you've done in your life and you just think, oh man, nobody could forgive me and I can't ever get away from this. I got great news for you. God's able to take it all and remove it all away, forgive you and give you a brand new start. And you know what? He does it every day. Because the Bible tells us that his mercies are new every morning. Boy, I'm glad for that. Every day I get to start with a new slate. It's all gone. It's over. Don't allow your past to control your future. Learn from it, but don't allow it to keep weighing you down. Move on. Go forward. That will help you become the person you want to become. Because if you don't, the enemy will use your past to haunt you day and night. And you need to let it go. It's over. You can't go back and undo it. You can't fix it. It's done. Go forward. And then he says, fix my thoughts. Now, fix your thoughts can have two things to say. You're thinking one way, and I can look at you. But you need to fix that. You're not thinking right, right? Or it can mean I need to really fixate on what's in front of me. Both of these can fit with that one little word. So he says, fix your thoughts, looking forward to what lies ahead. So forget your past, look forward. I forget my past by giving attention to the future. I look forward to life, not backwards. I'm not going to live 2026 by looking at 2025 the whole time. I get to look forward. Now, when you and I as Christians look forward, there's two things to look forward to. I get to look forward to heaven. That's the ultimate goal. That's what I want in life. More than anything else, I want to go to heaven. And I want all of you to be there. So that's where I fix my thoughts. But I also fix my thoughts on the things that are right today. Not the negative thoughts, but the thoughts that increase my faith. Now, I've said this many times, but let me just say it again. Faith is always positive. If you're a negative person, you are not living by faith. And you need to fix your thoughts. Amen, there was the time. That was the moment, you know. You need to come to that place where you recognize, you know what? This way of thinking is not helping me. It is hurting me. And I'm going to start looking forward to what God has in store for me. And when I look forward, I see the positive and not the negative. Because in this world that we live in this country that we live in, you can look at the future and think, man, we're doomed. But I don't care what the government does. I don't care what the scientists do. I don't care what all the movie stars or all the other things say or all the sports figures. Doesn't matter. They're not in charge. And so I get to look forward with a good future. God's going to take care of me. God's going to help me. God, here's his thought, God's in control. They're not. And so you and I get to live in that way of knowing, wow, I get to live in this world with Christ by my side, becoming more like him. And my past is gone. It's over with. It's all forgotten. It's all forgiven. And I get to move forward with a God who cares about me, who loves me, who's going to take care of me, who's going to help me. And I don't have to dread the future. I can look forward to it. It's not enough to forget the past. You have to fix it on the future. Because Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. What do you treasure? What do you think about the most? Whatever you think about the most is your treasure. That's why you and I fix our thoughts on him, isn't it? Because he's the treasure of our life. And we look to him. Ephesians 4:21. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off the old sinful nature and the former way of life, which is corrupted by lust, deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Now, does anybody in the room know someone who needs an attitude adjustment? Don't look next to you. You can just raise your hand and say, yeah. You know, you just know somebody, right? Some need it every day, don't they? And so he says, let the Spirit of God, which lives in you, which is helping you, let him help you with your thoughts and your attitudes. Keep your thoughts where they need to be. Focus on the future of what's going to happen, how God's in control and God's going to take care of me. And so I can look forward to this year, 2026, and look, it's going to be a good year. Well, Pastor, you know, you're getting to be an old guy. What about your health? Hey, if I die, I win. God's in control, right? It's going to be good. Well, you know, what about all the problems? Ah, glad you brought them up. That's the next point. Fight for the prize. This doesn't just happen easily. You have to fight for it. It is a battle. And hear me, Satan doesn't fight fair, but he does try to cause us to lose. Notice what he says, verse 14, I press to reach the end of the race. I've received the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. You don't take the easy way, you take the right way. And the right way is not always easy. In fact, many times the right way is the hardest way, but it's the most beneficial way. You fight to do what is right. Timothy's a young man who's kind of early on in his ministry, so to speak, and Paul's taking him under his wing, and he writes to him advice and tells him what he needs to do and how he needs to operate. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, he says, Timothy, you're a man of God, so run from all the evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, gentleness, Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life which God has called you, which you've declared so well before many witnesses. Later on, he writes to him again in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. My life's already been poured out as an offering to God. Time of my death is near. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day of his return. Now here it is. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. See, too many times we as Christians, we think if I become a Christian, I won't have any more problems. And unfortunately, there's been times when too many preachers have said, hey, accept God and everything's going to be daisies. Well, accept God and everything's going to be thorns. There's going to be problems. You're going to have to fight through it. You're going to have to fight to keep your focus right, aren't you? You're going to have to live with intentionality in order to stay where you need to stay. It's not going to be something, yeah, that's what I want to do. Yeah, I'll just make it happen and God will help me and carry me along and do it all for me. No, God will be with you to see you through every difficult moment. And God will be with you to see you through every great moment. Because sometimes the greatest moments are our biggest threat. And you and I have to come to that place where we recognize, I'm going to do this. I want to do this. This is where I'm going to go into this new year. I'm going to have to fight for it. Now, I just lost some of you right away, didn't I? It's fight. I'd like to tell you it'd be simple. I'd like to tell you, hey, just believe this and everything will be wonderful. I believe it will, but you'll have to fight for it. I believe everything the Bible promises, but you have to fight for it. There's difficulties, there's tests, there's trials. Your faith is going to be tested. But I have to fight for it. I have to not listen to the voice that tells me to give up. I have to not listen to the voice that tells me you're no good. I have to not listen to the voice that says you've gone too far. I have to fight that. I have to stay true to this. And that's why he finishes with faithfully keep progressing. Faithfully keep progressing. Verse 15 and 16, let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. In other words, you've been wrong before, listen to me now. But we must hold on to the progress we have already made. Some of you have made some great progress over the past year. Don't lose it. Keep growing. Keep going. Keep fighting for it. Keep holding on to it. Keep moving forward. Don't go backwards. So you and I have this understanding that I have to want to be what God wants me to be. What does God, how does God want me to live for him? And he wants me to have this life, but I can only have it when I understand that I have to do my part. And if I do my part, God will always do his part. And so I come and fix my thoughts. I come and give my attention to this. I come and realize I've got a ways to go yet. I come to know that God's going to be faithful. I come to that place where I recognize the past is gone. I've got a future with God. He's going to help me. He's going to take care of me. And God, we're going to keep working on this. And I'm going to end the year 2026 a little better than I am today. And I'm going to keep progressing towards that mark that you've set for me, that bar that you have for me. I'd like to think I'd be some spiritual giant and really, man, I'd clear the bar. But too many times I don't clear the bar. In fact, I knock it down. But I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep going. 1 Timothy 4:15, give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into your tasks so that everyone will see your progress. Keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. Well, Pastor, I've accepted Christ. I'm saved. I don't have to worry about anything. You're right. You're saved. God understands that. But you still have to fight for more. You have to fight to stay where you need to be, don't you? Titus 2:12, we're instructed to turn from godless living, sinful pleasures. Live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to the wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. Wow. So face the truth today. Understand who you are and where you are, and then turn your attention to the thing that matters most, to really the only thing that matters. Let the past go. Keep looking towards the future and what you have. Fight for it. Don't quit. And keep progressing. Close with this verse, 2 Corinthians 13:11. It's a great verse. Dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter with these last words. Be joyful. Grow to maturity. Encourage each other. Live in harmony and peace. Then the God of love and peace will be with you. That's a good year. That's what we have to look forward to. That's how we live it. You want to make some New Year's resolutions? Start here. Everything will flow out of this, and you and I can live the life, the spiritual life that God has for every one of us. Would you stand with me, please? Lord, today, there are people in this room who don't know you, who are living their life on their own, doing their own thing. And they don't see a need for it, but yet they look at the world and look at the new year and a little pessimistic about a lot of things. Help them to see that you offer them life, and that to the full. And Lord, for those that are here today who have given their life to you, help them to understand we haven't arrived yet, but we're going to keep growing. We're going to keep going. We're going to put our attention where it needs to be. We're going to spend our energy on where we need to spend it. We're not going to get sidetracked by all the things the world has to throw up in front of us. We're not going to let our past keep haunting us. We're going to move forward. You're going to help us, and we're going to become more like you. Thank you for the hope that we have, the joy that we have, the love that we have, and we go from this place today to honor you and to live for you and to grow in you. In thy name we pray, amen. Now, if you're a guest with us today, stop by out in your...
Thanks for listening today. If you have questions or would like to speak to someone about taking the next step in your faith journey, we invite you to connect with us at thebreezechurch.com. That's thebreezechurch.com. Thanks again for listening, and have a great day.